T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jimmy's been awesome. You look at him and he's just a specimen, his size and strength.
It's ridiculous. A physical specimen that really makes an impact on the game. You talk about the unique size of Grant, 6'6".
That's energy, and that's the swag that we need on offense. We need that energy guy that has that fire.
He's got some swag.
Jimmy's just being him.
When I called him the other day, I said, he looked just like the Terminator. He walked like him and everything.
I think I was 12 years old when I knew who Jimmy Graham was, and I got his jersey.
You're listening to The Joe O Show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Nights 6 to 10.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
On 670 The Score.
Oh, no, no. We don't need Bear Benet. You don't need to go out there and people are getting loopy. They're going out at night to the two bars in Bourbonnais, hanging out with each other, having fun, cut up with these crazy storylines. We don't need to go there. Doesn't matter. Just go to Halas Hall. We can be in a pandemic. We can have Jimmy Graham going to the Hall of Fame at this stage in his career. After he played with Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, you know when it's going to click. And I know he's great with the Saints. I'm just kidding there. And he had one good year in Seattle. But it's really going to click when he hooks up in this Bears offense with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. Who's the best one? I don't know. We'll find out at some point. They have no idea. No idea. Yeah, okay. Joe Ostrowski with you till 10 o'clock. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jordan Malley producing this evening, 8 o'clock. Chris Altruda, my buddy who covers sports betting, he went to the new sports books that opened up in Illinois, Hollywood Casino Aurora, Hollywood Casino Joliet. I want to talk about his experiences today. And at 8:40, Cody Westerlund will drop by. He covers the Bulls, fantastic editor of 670thescore.com. And before we get to some Bears stuff that I want to hit on, Jordan, this is like yours. I don't want to say Super Bowl because we're not there. It's not your Bulls in a playoff game, which we don't know when that's ever going to happen. But it's kind of like you're a fan of a team starting the NFL playoffs, right? I mean, this is huge. This is bigger than opening night, I would think, going into a season in which, like the last few, you don't think the Bulls have much chance of doing anything. Like this is big. The first Arturas pick. New regime, and we saw what he was able to do in Denver.
If you're a Hoopshead, and specifically a Bulls fan right now, you're spot on, because I don't think many that are casual Bulls fans realize how many things that the Bulls jump into the top four, how many things that this could open up for this team quickly. So I'm very, very excited, but I'm staying very even-keeled, just so I don't get my hopes up.
Am I supposed to insert the seventh pick joke right here? Is that what's going to happen? Is that the biggest concern? Is that the biggest concern? I know you've been dreading this. Yeah. We find out tonight where the Bulls will be picking in the first draft pick for Connor Chauvis with the Bulls here in this new regime. And we'll go over later some of the things that he's accomplished in Denver, which is why he was their top target. According to all reports, and I certainly believe those reports, and we're going to find out. So let's set the stage. So we're all on the same page here. Is it at 7:30, or the broadcast part of it starts at 7:30, or is it right after this Bucks game?
So now I'm thrown off because it's going to be probably right after this Bucks game, and if this goes into overtime, which doesn't look
it's not.
Going to.
It's not.
So the good thing is they, normal programming time, they cut it down from an hour to a half hour. So it is going to be pretty quick. I would assume that there's going to be a little bit of an open, but by what, 7:45, 7:50, we should know for sure.
If they go right to the lottery right after this game, it's going to happen before 7:30, the start of that show.
They must have a buildup, or they're going to have a quick post game after this show leading into that lottery. I would assume that they're not going to do it any earlier.
So the tip-off for the game tonight is at 8 o'clock, right? So they're squeezing in a half-hour draft lottery show between 7:30 and 8. Is that what they're doing?
Correct. And what I was looking for to see is if they were going to flip to have additional programming like on ESPN2 or anything, but nothing lined up as of yet, so I'm surprised. No. Like maybe they don't want to take the eyes away from the actual game that's on after.
Okay, between 7:30 and 8, you're going to hop on the mic with me. You are Mr. Locked On Bulls. We'll talk about this and give it to you live, the play-by-play, I guess, as we find out what selection the Bulls will have. There's a 7.5% chance that they land the overall pick. There's a 32% chance that they fall somewhere in the top four. We're hoping it's not seven again, so we don't have to deal with those jokes for the fourth consecutive year. But the most likely spot is actually number eight at 34.1. Top four would be great if they can move up a little bit. A seven, okay, I can deal with seven, but it's funny in these scenarios when you have these lotteries, nobody ever talks about falling back, and that could definitely still happen. They could fall back to eight or nine, or there's a remote chance that they're sitting at 10, which is worst case scenario.
Don't do it to me. Don't do that to me. The good thing is if you're looking for, to get away from seven.
There's a 0.03.
I know.
There's a 0.03% chance that they get 11.
See, if that happens, all chaos is going to happen, Joe. Every team is going to be moved up and down the order.
Yeah.
So it'll be mad chaos. But the good thing is number seven, the Bulls actually have an 80% chance of not landing the number seven pick tonight. So odds are they don't end up at seven.
Yeah. New regime, let's get some Bulls luck. It'll be a lot of fun, so we'll keep you updated on that and give our reaction. We'll also check in with Cody Westerlund, as I mentioned, in the 8 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on the head coach, and then by then we'll know exactly where the Bulls will be selecting. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The Score. Jordan was messing with me with the Jimmy Graham audio from today. Most of it was from players and coaches with the Bears right now. Most of it. You know, I guess beggars can't be choosers. And this is what you get with a quarterback competition. We wanted some sort of a competition with Trubisky. We knew they weren't going to move on, but they didn't offer the fifth-year option. But with a quarterback competition, you get a little bit of this madness. And while Nagy is out there saying, yeah, no, slow down, media members. No, Mitch hasn't shown me enough to impress me that much. I'm not willing to say that he's better, even though many members of the media are saying, whoa, this is great. Mitch looks great. What I love that there's competition there. The likely scenario is both quarterbacks play this regular season, and hopefully we're talking about 16 games. The other likely scenario, or also part of it, is that these quarterbacks will combine to be a top 10 quarterback production, or bottom 10, rather, in the NFL, when you look at the track records of these guys, right? I mean, for years now, you haven't had any competition. There's been no quarterback pipeline because Ryan Pace decided Trubisky was the guy, and then he decided Trubisky's still the guy, and he's still the guy. Misevaluation after misevaluation with the most important position in all sports. But we don't, like I said at the top, we don't need Bourbonnais. We don't need to go to Bourbonnais for this. We're still getting the stuff that we get every single training camp, and it doesn't matter. Nothing is ever bad unless there's an injury, in this year, unless there's an illness. And it's all sunshines and balloons. It's great. Jimmy Graham is turning back the clock 10 years, right? How often have you seen that from a playmaking tight end in the NFL? I'll wait. Please let me know. And then, okay, Mitch is going to turn it around. He's got some competition now. He's going to try harder. Oh, he wasn't trying before? just some of these storylines is just, oh, man, it just ends up giving you a bit of a migraine at times. And people want to run with every single quote that's out there. Does anybody actually believe that one of these quarterbacks is going to start every game and they're going to be a Pro Bowl selection? Are they going to play to that level? They're already missing numerous guys on defense. But, man, it's just funny. We don't need to go to Bourbonnais for some of the silliness. But I will admit to you, we spent so much time hyping up the return of baseball, or the start of the baseball season, and the return of NHL via the Stanley Cup playoffs or the qualifying round, whatever you want to call it. And we had the NBA regular season, and now we're into the postseason, and so much fun. There's games all day. So the NHL really found a way to botch this too. They only have two games today, and they still have a game starting at 9:30. Just ridiculous to me. What are you doing? And I've praised them over the last couple of months, but what is that? 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 our time? Insanity. But it kind of finally hit me this week. With all these padded practices going on, the countdown is here. And I don't know if it's because in the back of my mind I was thinking, well, I guess they're going to play. They say they're going to play. They're practicing. They canceled the preseason. I guess we're going to have football. But we're 21 days away. 21. In 3 weeks, there's going to be a football game that counts. Two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We won't talk about them. But in 3 weeks, man, it is awesome. What's coming around the corner? Kentucky Derby's going to be here. And I'm just like, there's just so much sports I can't keep up. The Cubs are playing 5 times in 3 days. The Sox had a doubleheader over the weekend. Then I love the NBA. Stanley Cup playoffs, can't get enough of it. I'm all in there too, even though the Blackhawks have been out. It's like overload. And then once the NFL steps in, they're just going to take everything over. And don't forget, even though we're not going to have Big Ten football, we're not. They made that clear. There's going to be no change on that front. Even though we're not going to have Big Ten football, I still watch a lot of college football outside the Big Ten. I don't know about you guys. I love watching SEC football on CBS on Saturdays. I think we're going to get that. They're at least going to try. They keep kicking this can down the road. So it certainly feels like we're going to get an NFL season in some form. And in some conferences, we're going to get college football. SEC, we'll see about ACC and Big 12. But I think those three are going to try and play here. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. So speaking of Foles and Trubisky, Olin Krutz. You hear him all week, every week, right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. He's been great at TV since doing that with the post-game show. And you hear him here all the time. He was terrific this morning with Mullion Hall. Just talking about this competition. Everybody's, you know, trying to parse every word about what they're saying. I mean, that guy's been there. He's been the center, right? He knows about these quarterback issues and how teams really feel and how they make these decisions. When Olin was with the Bears, he was the leader of the team, and there was no question about it. Ran the locker room, and when Lovey wanted to talk to a player on offense, he would bring in Olin and talk to Olin. Here's what Krutz had to say about this Foles-Trubisky QB competition.
Look, if Coach Nagy, and I think he does, to me it's pretty simple, and I don't get to see them on a day-to-day basis, obviously, but it's pretty simple to me. If they want to run their scheme up there, and I'm talking about the RPOs, out of shotgun, the quarterback processing information from the pocket, if they want to run their full scheme, then they have to play Nick Foles. He's the guy they have to put in there. He's the guy who can handle that. If you talk about Mitch Trubisky, you got to go to the wide zone, which we've been hearing some of since they brought Juan Castillo in. Juan Castillo coached with Gary Kubiak and Dennison, who was out of Minnesota. And they run that Shanahan wide zone scheme where if you want to think about it, like it's Tannehill in Tennessee, right? It'll save quarterbacks like that. They don't have to process so much information in pocket. And if you just go back to last year's film, this is what Mitch Trubisky does well. All right, he hands the ball off. He can boot. He uses his legs. You get him out of the pocket. You have him read one side of the field. and not process all that information, which kind of bogs him down. And he has shown that he can't do well right. He doesn't do well at that. And like you guys know, guys, quarterbacks like that, that is not a skill they develop over time. If they can't read the pocket, if they can't handle a ton of information in the pocket, it's not really a skill you develop. You can get stronger, you can get faster, but to process information is hard. So I don't really think this is a tough quarterback competition. I think that Coach Nagy told you by these coaches he brought in that he's going to continue running his scheme. He wants to run that Andy Reid from the Kansas City Chiefs scheme. And I think that if they're going to do that, then Nick Foles is your guy.
Owen Krutz says it's easy. That's what he said this morning to Mullion Haw right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And if we go back to yesterday, Bears quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo, but he's talking about Foles. He said he would be a great point guard. He processes information at an unbelievable speed. Well, Krutz was saying about Trubisky the exact opposite. I don't think a whole lot has changed here. I don't think it's really going to be decided in these practices. The coach knows, the coaches know which guy is going to be their quarterback. Now, I've said all along, and I'm not backing away from that, that I think Trubisky will start week one. It doesn't mean he's going to finish week one, but he's going to start week one the way the schedule lined up. The NFL made it an intriguing decision for the Bears. And maybe Pace gets his way and he gets that one last shot. And if it doesn't work, maybe Foles enters at the start of the second half. If you're paying attention, it's obvious Matt Nagy doesn't want Trubisky. If you put two and two together, all these offensive coaches they brought in, I say they, but it's Matt Nagy making the call. He put this coaching staff together, and he filled it with guys that have a history with Foles who trust Nick Foles. And I'm sure part of that was, hey, you can coach this guy again. You liked coaching him, right? Yeah. Nowhere to go but up. It's going to be tough to fail at this job. That's how bad the offense was last year. Who's making that final call? Is Nagy truly taking more control of this team like many of us believe? Then it's going to be Nick Foles. I mean, it really hasn't changed that much. I will say, though, with zero preseason and a quarterback competition, wouldn't surprise me if Trubisky's the guy. And I'll still say that. I do think that he'll start week one, but it doesn't mean he's going to finish week one. They're both going to end up playing, and I don't think either of them is going to be in the Pro Bowl. That's where I stand on this issue. Joe Ostrowski with you, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. In about 15, 20 minutes, we're guessing, we're going to find out where the Bulls will be selecting in the 2020 NBA draft. But coming up next, oh, let's hear it. Let's do the Jimmy Graham thing. He's going to turn back the clock, and he's going to be the Saints' Jimmy Graham. Let's hear what they were saying at Halas Hall today about that. Joe Osho with you, 670 The Score, the radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
He's been a great influence for me since I've gotten here, and just really helped me out, showing me how to be professional. And, you know, you're going from college where, you know, things are kind of regimented in terms of going to class and stuff and, you know, being where you got to be at time and, you know, doing what you have to do. And Jimmy's just been great in terms of showing me just all the extra things that you have to do in order to be a great professional. And he's just been really helpful throughout this whole process.
Bears top draft pick Cole Kmet right there out of Notre Dame, a local guy, and hopefully he can contribute this season. Bears will need both of their number twos to contribute, whether we're talking about cornerback or tight end. Yeah, you have Artie Burns going down. That was just a lottery ticket. They were taking a shot on a guy, former first-round pick. That's not the answer. So we'll see. Maybe Kevin Tolliver is going to be the guy to start the season. And with this odd year, it's going to maybe take some time. Maybe you don't see Jalen Johnson starting until we get midway through the season. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're hoping to find out about the Bulls draft spot coming up maybe in the next 20 minutes or so, maybe earlier. And we will give you our reaction as that happens live right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. So I guess it was Jimmy Graham Day. It feels like a lot of times when you're at training camp, and if you're following the stories every single day, there's one guy that gets all the love. And apparently it was Jimmy Graham Day over at Bears practice. He's the Terminator. He's just unbelievable. Yeah. You know what? Seattle and Green Bay, those teams are dumb. But this Bears offense, they're going to figure out the right way. Now he's in a system that really works to Graham. Here's the thing. He better be a big upgrade. And I'm not even saying that because of the money. That's just how bad the position has been for so long. Just push to the side for a minute that they have 86 tight ends. We don't need to make that tired joke. But it literally was not an option last year on the field. That's why anything was better. And at least, I'll give the Bears credit here, at least they attacked the position. Give me something. Give me some options. Give me something different. And then maybe you're going to hit on something. That's what I've been calling for them to do at quarterback for years. But Ryan Pace is stuck on Mitch Trubisky. And it finally took until this year. Okay, after 3 years, I think we might know that he's not going to be the answer. But you had nothing last year. Trey Burton led the team in receptions at that position with 14. 14 catches and 84 yards, led the team. Adam Shaheen, 9 grabs for 74 yards. You had Horsted and Holtz. Before the season, you never even heard their names. That's how bad it was. So even if Jimmy Graham doesn't earn every dollar that he's going to make with the Bears, then maybe they overpaid. They probably did. I agree. Ryan Pace probably misread the market there. He's going to be better than what they've had because it's been miss after miss after miss with that position. And maybe he can give you something for 1 year. And what you hear is just ridiculous and it's over the top, but it's talk and it means nothing. Even if Graham has another 400-yard season, look how much better that is than what Burton and Shaheen brought you last season. Just all the tight ends combined. That is so much better. At least you have the ability to go to that position. There were players labeled tight ends, but they did nothing. And this is an offense that needs production out of that spot. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Okay, let's start with Matt Nagy. Since it appears, if you didn't get the memo, it is Jimmy Graham Day. Here's Matt Nagy discussing Graham.
Number one, I'll tell you this. He has a lot of experience, a lot of confidence, and he's a leader. He's a vocal leader. And I think that that's pretty good for this offensive unit right now for where we're at. We do have leaders on this team, but to have a guy that has played in this league for a long time and has had a lot of success, he's extremely motivated. He's extremely motivated to not only do well for himself, but to be able to help the rest of the players on this team. And so you take a guy like Cole Kmet as a young rookie coming in here, for Jimmy to be able to be a mentor and a leader in that room along with Demetrius Harris. You're feeling it in meetings, and now today you can feel it in the huddle when things maybe don't go as well as expected the play before. He has that next play mentality that just permeates through the offense, and I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to feel energy from him. He's a fiery guy with a lot of passion. I absolutely love that, not to mention he's 6'7" and has unbelievable ball skills.
That was Matt Nagy discussing Graham. Let's go to the quarterback room. How about Mitch Trubisky?
Jimmy's been awesome. I mean, you look at him and he's just a specimen, his size and strength. But once you get to know him, I think you get to see how smart he is, how cerebral he is about the game and his experience. And I mean, there's a reason like he's been around for this long. And a guy like him and Ted Ginn, it's so crucial for, I think, our young receivers and tight ends to watch them, see their practice habits, see how they see the game, and just to try to absorb that knowledge and experience that they've carried with them. And the way they take the practice field is definitely contagious, and I think our young guys can learn a lot from them, looking up to those guys and seeing how they practice every day.
Did you laugh when he said Ted Ginn too? I have to admit it, man. Like, okay, I want to go through what everybody is saying here about Jimmy Graham. I just want to remind you, let's take a step back. We're talking about a guy that hasn't done anything over the last few years, and Ted Ginn, he drops every other ball thrown his way. Like, he'll ball out once in a while. We saw him score a big touchdown last year at Soldier Field against this Bears defense. But, like, look at what we're talking about. the offense would be saved because Nick Foles, terrible last year in Jacksonville, gets hurt a lot. Jimmy Graham, over the hill. Ted Ginn drops every other ball. Like, this is what we're talking about, Jordan Malley. This is how the Bears are going to start to score points because they changed coaches, they added Nick Foles, and they brought in an over-the-hill tight end and a wide receiver who can't catch.
How quickly do Bears fans turn on Jimmy? Is it first game, half, if he drops like two or three passes in that first game?
I wonder about that because I don't think the expectations are that high for Graham, and they've got nothing out of the position for so many years. I think Bears fans know that he isn't the long-term answer, and if you can get 400 to 500 yards over the course of a season, they'll be okay with that. What about the other quarterback? Maybe your week one starter. I don't know. He's going to play, though. Here's Nick Foles.
Playing with Jimmy, getting used to him, it's been great. I mean, he's been such a great player in this league, and he's got such a great radius of catching. I mean, the dude can catch the ball and run routes, and he's still got a lot of juice in him. And then the knowledge he brings to the game. I mean, he's played the game a long time. He's been around some great teams, so I always enjoy hearing how other teams have done it, how other players have done it. The wisdom he's gained from different offenses is intriguing, so having those conversations has been great.
So there's Nick Foles. Kevin Tolliver, the cornerback, we played it in the open. We're having some technical issues downtown, so we're not able to play it. But he called Jimmy Graham the Terminator. He looks like the Terminator today. It's hilarious, man. It's so good. It kind of, you know, I laugh at it, and I know Lawrence has a lot of fun with it. And he says, don't pay attention to any of this stuff. And I'm not disagreeing. I actually agree with him on that. But it is also fun. Like, I feel warm inside because we're having football in 3 weeks. Unless something changes, we're in football. And the lack of positive tests, great, great news. I'm waiting for the big day when we have all of these players testing positive. We're not hearing it in the NFL. It's not happening a whole lot, at least not with the star players. And as ridiculous as all of this sounds, is that normalcy? Normalcy? It feels like it a little bit because this is what we get every single summer when we're at training camp. How about the rookie tight end? Here's more of Cole Kmet on The Vet, Jimmy Graham.
I think I was 12 years old when I knew who Jimmy Graham was, and I got his jersey when he was on the Saints. So I was telling him that the other day. We were laughing about it. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that just goes up and gets it. So that's something as a tight end you always look after. And So I've known who he was since I was 12, and to kind of see him now and, you know, for him to be teaching me some things is pretty cool for me. So as a fan of football and, you know, as a player of the game, it's been pretty special for me to be able to learn from a guy like that.
They love Jimmy Graham. How about on the defensive side of the ball? Eddie Jackson was a guy that the perception was last year that he took the next step as a leader on this team. And he's a voice of the team, and he would appear on multiple shows last year right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and be a voice for the team. Maybe it's because Khalil Mack doesn't like to talk too much, and that's fine. As long as he produces, I don't think anybody really cares about that. Here's Eddie Jackson talking about Graham's impact as a leader.
Jimmy's just being him, you know, and he being that vocal guy, you know, for the younger guys, younger tight end, and just him being around and playing in the game for so long. So it's a lot of different things that he's done that, you know, I haven't really seen in practice going up against other tight ends, and just his, you know, his athletic aspect. He's a big guy, you know, for him to be able to run routes, jump, and make those type of plays that he's capable of making. It really helps us a lot, you know, as a safety standpoint, to come down, cover tight ends, you know, you're feeling more comfortable. And me just going up against him, you know, he was with a different team, and just us being on the same team now, just giving each other little tips and little pointers here, and just, you know, seeing the things that he's really capable of doing. But, you know, right now Jimmy is a, you know, he's a great leader for the young guys in the room. You know, he's an older guy and one of the oldest guys on the team, I think. So just him, his presence and everything like that from a leadership standpoint as well.
There's Eddie Jackson of the Bears. It's been great to have baseball every day. Now we're into the NBA playoffs. Stanley Cup playoffs are moving on. Some teams are getting knocked out in 5 games, including the Blackhawks, one of many. But I'm sitting here in my basement What day is it? It's a Thursday night because we just had Bears All Access. And I'm talking about the upcoming Bears season that is, I think, 3 weeks away. This makes me happy. Really, really hope that they're able to get this season in. I didn't think we would be here, but it just seems like we're moving forward and they're at least going to start. It's a lot of fun. Even though there won't be a preseason, I'm not going to miss it. I don't think anybody's going to miss any of that. Speaking of fun, how about tonight? In the next 10 minutes, maybe, we're going to find out where the Bulls will be selecting in the NBA draft this year. We're going to break it all down and tell you as it happens where the Bulls landed here. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get to that next. Talk about Karnišovas and the Bulls draft options as we find out with you where they'll be selecting. 8 o'clock, Chris Altruda from USBets.com. He will drop by and talk about his experience today at the two new sports books, which launched in the suburbs late this morning. So looking forward to that conversation as well. Joe Ostrowski with you. Till 10, you've got 670 The Score in the Radio.com app.
Communication that they have in the meeting room, that's the swag that we need.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
And that's why I said, Melo.
Okay.
Is going to be.
Okay.
Watch me dance again.
Okay.
Number one pick 2020.
Because LaMelo.
He's that good. He's that good.
He's going number one
that
overall.
That dude, number one.
Okay.
Yes. I need that. I need that to happen. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thanks for hanging out. So we're going to let you know it's going to happen in this segment. We're going to find out when the Bulls will be selecting in the upcoming draft. The first selection for Arturas Karnišovas. And there's a lot of reasons to be excited. Not only is guard packs out, well, the packs part sort of out, but sort of not too, because it's the Bulls and you never move on from family, not completely. But the reason that there's so much excitement isn't only that Gar Forman is gone, it's also Arturas Karnišovas and everything we've heard about Mark Eversley and J.J. Polk and Pat Connolly. And the fact that in Denver, Karnišovas lands Nikola Jokic and Nurkic and Jamal Murray, who was playing like Michael Jordan the other day, and Gary Harris and Michael Porter Jr. That's why there's so much excitement. That is why. And the Bulls have a 7.5% chance at the number one pick, 7.8% shot at number two. At a top four selection, 32%. And seven, I can deal with the seven as long as they're not moving back. But after we find out where the Bulls will be selecting, you'll start to become familiar with LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman and Obi Toppin. And hopefully we're talking about those names because that means that the Bulls probably landed somewhere in the top four or Killian Hayes. So I'm lucky enough to have Jordan Malley as my producer tonight. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Jordan co-hosts the Locked On Bulls podcast. He's like the biggest Bulls guy along with Cody Westerlin, who we'll talk to at 840 at the entire station here. What are you feeling, man? I know you're a big fan. It isn't just about doing a podcast. So are you nervous? What are you thinking going in just minutes away?
I think I was more nervous last year, just considering the fact that the Bulls had the fourth slot instead of the seventh, and watching them fall to seven again was a little disappointing. This year, I think my expectations have been set, and I think more so been put at ease because of what AK has said. He's talked about the draft at the top being very heavy, but also feeling that there's a lot of depth in that second tier. So anybody that's probably going to go 5 to 15, you could see a lot of variation and a lot of movement, a lot of names that maybe people don't expect to be drafted there. So if the Bulls fall from 7 to 8, obviously that's a huge disappointment, and another team to pick ahead of you, and you don't want them to steal them, but at this point, they're probably going to get their guy that they want, or at least somebody in the top five on their draft board.
See, Karnišovas' comments didn't really stand out to me, because we hear that every year, and just pick a GM, any team. Are you ever going to hear, boy, I hope we get in the top four, because after that, the draft sucks. Nobody's going to come out and say it, whether they believe it or not. But I guess there isn't a clear-cut number one this year, which kind of makes you wonder when you have a year like that. But it's just so different, not because it's fresh, not because it's new, but there's reason to have trust with the top of the organization, with the front office that they built over the last few months. And people chose to get mad about Jim Boylan taking time. And the fact is that as soon as the regular season ended, Jim Boylan was out of here. And I was never concerned. I didn't understand people getting all nervous and worried, Jordan, about Jim Boylan sticking around to coach another game with the Bulls.
Do you really want me to comment on that?
There was no way that he was going to get this opportunity and start it off with Jim Boylan, even though it's going to be a year where he's just sitting back and probably evaluating the talent on the roster.
I can't admit I got baited. I got baited, especially last week. Me and Matt.
Yeah, you did. No, I know you did. I know. You're texting me about it. You're freaking out. I'm like, what is the why? We don't even know when they're playing their next basketball game. Why are people up in arms?
It is crazy, but I got a little bit more reassurance from AK. And him talking to Sam Smith, even in an article in a one-on-one that he did, talked about second-round picks and also who's going to be the ultimate decision-maker on who they draft. And AK comes out flat and says, I'll take the consideration of both groups, but the decision is solely on me, which is nice to hear. We never hear that, ever. When's the last time we heard, one person's going to make the choice?
Yeah. No, that's how you want it, right? And you're ahead of me, so I'm in my office in my basement, and this TV is on a stream, so I know I'm in a bit of a delay. Tell the people, where are we, Jordan, so far? You're ahead of me by like 30 seconds.
So the Boston Celtics got the 14th pick. The Pelicans got the 13th pick. The Kings have the 12th pick as of right now.
Okay, so this is when it starts to gets interesting, because 11, it's a remote shot, but there's a chance, 0.03%. 10, it's a 1% chance, and then it'll get fun once we get into the range of 9, right?
Correct. 11 and 10 were just revealed. It's all gone in the same exact order we've seen it. San Antonio gets 11, Phoenix gets 10.
Okay.
Washington gets 9.
All right.
It's all going in order right now, Joe. This is not, I guess, what you wanted to see. Oh, there's the Knicks at number 8. So the Knicks fell from from 6.
Here's 7.
To 8.
Go ahead. Are you going to tell me Bulls 7? Are you going to do this? No?
They've delayed it. They've delayed it. So they just saw the movement. Wow. Number 7, Detroit Pistons.
So they're reacting. Oh, so Bulls are in the top.
Bulls
are
in the top 4.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. So there was a 32% chance the Bulls would be in the top 4, and luck is on their side. The Bulls are in the top 4 because we called up to 7, but they're not getting 6 or 5. Can you explain that to people? Because that is a little confusing.
By the way, Cleveland and Atlanta both just fell out of the top 4. Cleveland had the second best odds, and Atlanta had the 4th best odds, and they both just fell to 6 and 5.
Okay, so we're up to the top 4. Now we're about to find out where the Bulls fit in. They already lucked out. This is huge for them.
The odds with the lottery, too, had changed a couple years ago, and I think that's what's going to surprise a lot of people here. And the one thing is, I wanted Golden State to fall out of this, but with the best odds there, the only thing that's good is Cleveland fell out. I don't think Cleveland deserves to get another shot at a top guy, and they haven't had any bad luck, and neither has Atlanta, at least in the short past. They got Trae Young, and they got Kevin Huerter and John Collins, so it's time for the Bulls to have some good luck, and this is good to hear.
Okay, so the top 4 is the Bulls, the Warriors, and what are the other two?
The Timberwolves.
Yes.
And the Charlotte Hornets.
MJ. So they moved up too, huh? The Bulls and the Hornets. This is fascinating. Okay. So they went to a break. So we're just keeping you updated, everything going on with the NBA lottery. The Bulls have moved up. They're not picking 7th. So we can stop with those jokes right now. They're going to be in the top 4. There's a 32% chance that they were going to land there, and that's where they are. Going in, it was 7.5% at number one, 7.8% at number two, 8.1% at three, and 8.5% at four. But the Bulls are moving up, and it is a beautiful thing. So keep it right here. We're going to let you know exactly what's going on. So get familiar with names like Obi Toppin out of Dayton. We're going to have that LaMelo Ball conversation. He's the better of the
ball. And that's why
boys.
I said, Melo.
Okay.
Is going to be.
Okay.
Watch me dance again.
Okay.
Number one pick 2020.
Because LaMelo.
He's that good. He's that good.
He's going number one.
That
overall.
Dude, number one.
All right, we know top four. And I'm going to let you, this is pencil, not pen. Jordan, you can change it once we find out. Because if it's four, that's a different conversation than number one. And the odds are so close. These are all coin flips. They could be one or they could be four. It's not like it's so far-fetched for them to be number one. The difference is 7.5% and 8.5%. Let's say it's four. Now it's a real conversation. Who do you want to fall there to four?
Who do I want? I would love LaMelo
realistic
to fall
option.
There. Realistic option, I think James Wiseman falls to four. And I think at that point, don't be scared by the bigs that the Bulls took two bigs already during this rebuild. They
I don't
can
care.
Move pieces. James yeah. Wiseman, yeah, I would go with him and have no regrets about that.
Based off the mock reports that you've read, the experts that you've heard from, is it a consensus that the top four in some order will be Toppin, Ball, Wiseman, Edwards, or are there other guys that could go into the top four?
No, Killian Hayes has been getting a lot of mention. Onyeka yep. Okongwu from USC has been getting a lot of mention as well as a top four prospect. So I think you're going to see even some surprises outside the top two. And once that happens, one team makes a different decision from how it's supposed to go. The dominoes just start to fall. I'm also going to be interested to see how many teams want to trade up into this draft because it may not cost them as much as it had in the past couple of drafts.
True. True. Yeah, it goes back to the point that you don't have that one stud superstar. Are they back? You're ahead of me, so are they back yet? Are they? They're just dragging this out. They're just killing us right now.
They're dragging it out because they got some movement, and they know they got the excitement. No, they are still in commercial break.
And they know how many Bulls and Warriors fans there are out there in the world that will sit through however long this break is.
Oh, man. I'm not going to get excited just yet. Not gonna
you should
it.
Be excited. No, you can be excited. They're in the top four. We walked into this saying, I hope they're in the top four. They're in the top four. So you can be excited. It doesn't Of course it matters because you want to be number one or two. You'd rather be that than three or four. But you have every Bulls fan listening right now has every right to be excited off what just happened by making that leap.
100%. And if they end up at number four and the guy that you want is LaMelo, this brings them closer to the conversation about maybe moving up. Maybe Anthony Edwards is the guy and Golden State says, we're going to take him number one regardless. Let's make a swap. Or they end up at number two and they want to make a swap for a guy like that. If they don't want LaMelo at number one, I think that opens up a lot of cards, at least for somebody in my perspective who wants LaMelo.
And, of course, my TV just went out.
And the fourth pick went to the Bulls. The third pick went to the Charlotte Hornets. The
second
pick went to the Golden State Warriors. And the first pick in the draft went to the Timberwolves.
Okay. So the Bulls make the climb up to number four. I don't know how you could possibly complain. First reaction.
Bulls fans, the Bulls get lucky and beat the odds, winning the NBA Draft Lottery's number four pick. What will Arturis Karnišević do with his gift from the basketball gods? All of our shows and NBA experts will analyze the possibilities here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
Yikes. Okay, glad we got that in. Wiseman. Are we on Wiseman? Now, LaMelo, I want LaMelo at number four. That's before we do any research, talk to anybody. Oh, man, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait. That might be the next big sporting event in Chicago. Huge, 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 huge. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Two legal sports books open today in Illinois. We'll get the details from someone who was on the scene. Chris Altruda will join me next. 670 The Score on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.